You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have already visited this month with incredible guests from England, Australia, Canada, Croatia, Brazil, Belgium, and Sweden. TPC's March Around the World will now end this evening with an extended stop in South Africa, the only port of call that will have 2 hours dedicated to its current situation. And helping us sort through what that current situation is on the ground there in South Africa will be, in just a moment, Simon Roche, a spokesman for the Saitlanders organization. Also, filmmaker Jonas Nielsen will be with us again in the next hour. Last year, during our march around the world, Jonas represented his native nation of Sweden, but tonight Jonas is in South Africa working on another project that is near and dear to his heart. So between Simon and Jonas, we are going to try to get to the bottom of the South African question, at least as it stands right now here on TPC. I want to make a quick announcement before we bring Simon on that I am pleased to make mention of, and that is the brand new book, The Honorable Cause, A Free South, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com. It was soft launched just a couple of days ago. Very excited about this project. We mentioned it last week, but it is now out, published, and available for purchase. And what you have here is a book that is designed to explore topics such as what is the Southern nation? What is Southern nationalism? How can we achieve a free and independent Dixie? 12 authors have contributed essays. I am proud to be one of them. There will be a hard launch in Greenville, South Carolina, the Greenville, South Carolina area next week, Saturday, April 1st, which coincides with our annual Confederate History Month series. So we are wrapping up our march around the world in South Africa tonight. Next week, we will kick off Confederate History Month in South Carolina. So be sure to take a look at this book, buy it, and help advance the cause of a free and independent Dixie, available now at Amazon.com. And I promise you that you will hear much, much, much more about this book during our Confederate History Month series, which will, again, kick off next week. That being said, let's go right now to South Africa with our longtime friend and comrade and ally and brother, Simon Roche, who is a fourth-generation South African. He is affiliated with the aforementioned Saitlanders organization, which is devoted to the protection of non-combatant Afrikaner Boer civilians in the event of a large-scale conflict. And he is back again for the 12th time, if my count is correct, to give us the latest news. Simon, God bless you, brother. How are you doing tonight in South Africa?
I'm doing well, thank you, James. We're all doing well, thank you. And thank you very much for having Saitlanders on your show yet again. We appreciate it. We sincerely appreciate it. The exposure is very good for us.
Well, before we get into some detailed current event questions, why don't we just spend the couple of minutes here in this opening segment? You've been on many times to promote Saitlanders, what the mission of the organization is and what you do for it. But for the benefit of anybody who is tuning in for the first time, which inevitably there are people who have heard you many times and people who are hearing you tonight for the first time, just give us a quick reminder of the work of that fantastic organization.
Well, Saitlanders was founded by our leader, Mr. Gustav Müller, about 20 years ago, on the basis that he perceived that the trajectory of South Africa was going to end in a catastrophe. We were already beginning to see extensive misrule by the ANC, a lot of bias and a lot of prejudice, whites being shoved out of the civil service, and laws being brought in, such as our famous BBBEE law, which is broad-based black economic empowerment, that compelled companies to To give away shares or to sell shares to black people and to remove white people from management and every level, from director all the way down, in favor of black people. And so his perception was this is going to end badly, and he founded an organization called Saitlanders, which is devoted to safeguarding the welfare of our people in the event that this whole thing goes so horribly wrong that we find us ourselves in a kind of a civil war or equivalent type scenario. We use phrases like nationwide anarchy, just to indicate that it doesn't have to end in a civil war as such, but if we reach the point that the government can't govern and people are, left to maraud, or allowed to maraud. In such a situation, the idea is that our people would be encouraged to relinquish hearth and home, to remove themselves from overwhelming threats, and to come to a safe area where we can gather in numbers and create a critical mass that is adequate to defend that declared safe zone under international law, particularly but not only protocols 1 and 2, additional to the Geneva Conventions of 1977, which make provision for identifiable ethnic groups to prepare for in advance, in a legal manner, to prepare for in advance and to execute a safety plan for the welfare of their people. And it's very much akin to, James, in practical terms, to what happened in Yugoslavia 30 years ago, when Croats and Serbs and Bosnians and so on saw that their welfare was threatened by the others. And so they grouped together and they secured certain cities, like, it's one random example, the famous Srebrenica, where a minority kind of holed itself up there and kept itself safe for a year or two. That's the gist of it, I think.
Simon Keith Alexander here. Right? It kind of reminds me hearing you describe this of the doomsday clock regarding, how close we are to nuclear war. What is the doomsday clock like there in South Africa regarding the safety and welfare of the white minority?
Well, at present, it's a few minutes to 12 o'clock, whatever you want to make it, 10 to 5 to 3 minutes to. There's not a clear and present danger, Keith. The danger is very low key or low intensity. I am good friends with the family that owns the largest internet wireless service provider in the province of Gauteng, which produces about 13% of the whole of Africa's GDP. So it's a miniature province. It's roughly akin to the idea of Washington, D.C., but it's extremely productive of, if you take all 54 countries in Africa, you can imagine just one province of one country generating 13% of all of that wealth. And these people who own this company tell me, because they're monitoring all of the people who are canceling wireless contracts or opening them, they say there is a flood of white people out of that province.
Hold on right there.
Former
Simon
Sheriff
Rose
Richard
back with us
Matt
right after
recounts
this.
In his book the proper role of law enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, the Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
TPC listener Steve writes, "Hello, James. I look forward to hearing an update from South Africa this month." Well, Steve, you're getting it right now, and you'll be getting it in the next hour as well. And if you or anyone else tuned in wants more information about this critical organization, Saitlanders, now they spell it a little bit differently. It rolls off their tongue a little bit differently, and it's spelled a little bit differently, but the website is suidlanders.org, suidlanders.org. It's in English. You'll be able to read it clearly. And Simon Roche, of course, is one of their most able and capable spokesmen. I know he has put tens of thousands of miles touring America alone, hundreds of thousands around the globe. He has spoken before the European Parliament, raising awareness about the plight of the white South African minority, and as we have visited with Simon over here in the United States on several occasions, our honorary associate producer, Rich Hamblin, and his wife, Janice, have visited with Simon both here and in South Africa as well. Now, Rich has sent in a few questions, Simon, and you know Rich. I got to get to these. And they're good questions, so it's not taking anything away from the program, but Rich is, like so many of our listening audience, very concerned about the situation in South Africa. And so here are some of those questions. You hear a lot of rumors this week, especially in the last few days, about what's going on in South Africa with regards to this attempt to shut down the country. I believe it was the Economic Freedom Fighters, the EFF, led by Julius Malema. What's going on there? Was it much ado about nothing? What were they attempting to do? And what was the unrest all about?
Well, yes, in a sense it was much ado about nothing or a storm in a teacup. I mean, in some of the towns, groups of just 12, literally 12 people demonstrated. But their threat was always to shut down the country, not to burn it down. And they got that right. Basically, they said boo, and we burst into tears. The country was terrified. The country was on the edge of its seat. People were double locking their doors. They didn't go to work. They didn't open their businesses. So yeah, the straw man or the tin man really won the day very, very sadly. So they've got the country by the short and curlies. We're never going to be able to recover a strong posture. You know, they got it right to say boo, to send 12 guys into a town, and everybody scurried for cover. They now have this sort of upper hand, moral upper hand, if you like, or morale upper hand, and it's going to be difficult to ever recover it. Just to complete the, I'm sorry that I ran over there, but right now the threat is crime, violence. People are fleeing the big cities and going to areas where the demographics are more favorable. I mean, it's just an absolute flood that these people are able to witness because of all of the contracts being cancelled. But thousands are not being killed at a time. However, we have seen, our organization has seen huge growth James, because so many people are beginning to realize that there is an emergent threat. Year by year, the country continues on a trajectory that is just catastrophic. We now have over 50% unemployment, according to the full definition. Our electricity supply company has blackouts up to 11.5 hours a day, rolling blackouts, so everybody in the country gets a turn to have 11.5 hours a day without electricity. You can imagine how that is shutting down businesses left, right, and center. We're being bankrupted through a lack of electricity, and our president was recently caught with $4 million undeclared. And there's so much more that I could tell you. The story just goes on and on and on. Are we dying en masse right now? No. Is there an emergent threat of genuine nationwide anarchy in this country? Absolutely. And we would say that it is, that threat is manifesting. It's becoming less of a specter and more of a physical entity all of the time.
It's sort of like, Keith, the majority of non-white cities in the United States. There's not an imminent genocide that's happening, that's going to happen within the next few days, but there is just a dull, constant black-on-white violence, rape, murder, etc.
It's increasing. And in fact, I was struck by the similarity. Whites in places like Memphis are picking up and moving out to more rural areas. What we have in America is elevation is a big factor. Black people aren't in the mountains. They are in the Delta areas where they were basically originally put, where they were, you know, working on cotton plantations and things like that. But more and more people, more and more white people are moving to the rural areas. It sounds like you've got the same phenomenon there in South Africa.
A little more space to run in America, although you can't run forever, and our people need to realize
that. It's also a fact, for example, if a white guy were to kill a black person and was could be tried in a place like Memphis, he's toast. And I'm sure it's the same situation there in South Africa. That's why you want to get out there
Of course, you're not saying if there was a legitimate murder, you'd want him off just because of that. But.
No, we're not. We wouldn't want that. But on the other hand, I don't think you can a white person under those circumstances could get a fair trial in Memphis, for example, right now. And in other majority black cities, it's of course, we have a problem among whites. They say all our skin folk ain't kinfolk.
Okay, that actually brings up, Keith, I'm glad you said that. That brings up something, a two-part question I want to ask Simon, but I'm going to ask it in two separate parts instead of combining them. And that is, it's not as if all blacks in South Africa are united and together as one, and all whites are united and together as one. What is the mood of the various non-white factions over there, Simon? Are they at each other's throats, tribally speaking, as you would have imagined before the white man came? Will the ANC retain power? I mean, they're not all just a monolith and living in peace and harmony if it wasn't for those evil white farmers, right?
No, absolutely not. They aren't. They haven't gone to one another's throats yet. But to give you a good idea of how this thing works, 2 years ago, we had nationwide, in two provinces, we had very widespread riots involving hundreds of thousands of people and attempted invasions of, you know, law-abiding suburbs. And the suburban people fired back. The Indians, the largest number of Indians from the subcontinent of India in the world, is in the region where I grew up. And that's where was the epicenter of the riots. And the Indians, who are timid people, I mean, they are famously timid, fearful, cowardly people, banded together and they got on the backs of trucks and they hunted the Zulus down. There are videos that I'm sure we could never publish. I mean, they're that bad, of these guys on the backs of trucks, one guy filming, and four guys firing into the backs of the Zulus as they run away. They hunted them down like animals. And that's indicative of the underlying kind of mentality. The whites and the Indians are saying, we want to play nicely. We understand BBBEE and the black government and the ANC and the revolution. And we get all of that. But if you come into our suburbs to rape our women, we're going to shoot you in the brain. And that was manifest. It happened that way. And there are at least 150 very explicit videos of that happening 2 years ago.
And how is the government?
I've not heard that before.
How is the government reacting to that, Simon?
The government was indignant. How dare you? The poor guy just wanted a piece of action in your house.
With your wife.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's wicked, Keith. It's absolutely wicked. The stance of, a few days ago, perhaps 5 days ago, the Minister of Police visited an Indian area and in this region, and he said to the people there, you know, the tensions between the races were caused by the vigilantism of 2 years ago. And I nearly blew a gasket. I almost had an aneurysm. It was not caused by that. The racial animosity was caused by the invasion of the suburbs, by the plundering, the pillaging, and the looting. They twist everything 180 degrees, as they do in the USA. You know, I follow the narrative in the USA very, very closely.
Answer that question, Simon, before the break, and we have just seconds remaining. Of course, the entirely owned and operated and controlled American media, really the global media, America especially, since that's what we're talking about right now, they said none of this is happening. That none of this is happening. It's just racist conspiracy theories to say that there's any sort of black-on-white unrest, black-on-white crime. Think about how you want to answer that when we come back. What would you say to the American media, the so-called journalists here in the United States, who say that it's not happening? The blacks are great. There's no
if there is anything happening,
rape,
it's the white people's fault.
Yeah, well, they say it's not happening at all. We'll be right back with the wonderful representative for our people in South Africa, Simon Roche.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Richard Johnson. Is today the day that Donald Trump becomes the first former president of the United States to face a criminal indictment? We're waiting for word from a grand jury in New York City that's heard a lot of evidence from the prosecutor about the hush money paid to adult film actress Stormy Daniels.
Hush money payments in and of themselves are not illegal.
But criminal defense attorney Caroline Pelosi adds,
in this instance, what is a crime is the falsification of that payment, how they document it on Trump Org's business records.
If there is an indictment, what's next? Here's attorney Jesse Weber.
It seems by all accounts that if he's indicted, he's going to voluntarily surrender. He will surrender himself to the Manhattan DA's office. He will be fingerprinted. There will be a mugshot.
All that would probably happen next week. Prosecutors may charge Trump with falsifying records to make the $130,000 payment to Daniels look like a personal expense when the money really came from the Trump campaign treasury. Trump has denied that. The Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day meeting. Board members are deciding whether to raise interest rates again to try to cool inflation. Recent strong job numbers hint at another hike. About the failure of two banks this month could influence the size of that increase. School is out for a second day in Los Angeles as school staffers are striking and teachers are honoring the picket lines. The staffers union wants a 30% pay raise for its mostly low-income members. The district is offering 23%. No new talk scheduled. The FAA is appealing to airlines to do better in communicating at the airport. Not about whether your flight's delayed, but about planes, operations, and ground crews talking to each other. Just yesterday, a Southwest plane aborted its landing at Hollywood Burbank Airport because a police helicopter was on the active runway. It was the second close call at that airport in less than a month. This is USA News.
Progressive protects more than just your home and car. You could save when you bundle your motorcycles, ATVs, boats, and RVs. Doesn't that sound good? Like the sound of the wind in the trees as your RV sits parked in the forest. Is that the call of the majestic owl? And there's the sound of a tree branch crashing into the roof of your RV. Oof, I guess their nest was in that branch. But you know what does sound good? You're covered with Progressive. So bundle all your vehicles and home in one place and save with a multi-policy discount. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
Do you have a story to tell? Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network handles everything. If you have a print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, call Audiobook Network now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-734-1229. 800-734-1229.
Back with Simon Roche. If you want more information about his organization, the organization for which he serves as a premier spokesman, traveling the world to raise awareness about the situation that white South Africans face, it is Saitlanders, SUIDLANDERS.org. There you can read more about their emergency plan initiative and why you should be supportive of that. Simon, I've got a lot more ground to cover with you, brother, and just a couple of more segments to do it. But I was asking you before, the American media says that this is a conspiracy theory, this is a racist narrative, that black-on-white violence in South Africa, rape, murder, robberies, etc., is practically non-existent.
Flat doodle.
Yeah. It's you have an occupational government, and that government is allied very closely to the controllers of your media interests, who are allied very closely to your financial interests. The reality, I know this is going to upset many people, and I'll very briefly allude to something else. I'll digress for a second and come back. You recall me telling you that when I gave the speech at your birthday party in 2019, there was a southern gentleman of the most impeccable manners, and dear me, the most elegant diction, just a classy human being if I've ever met one, who took exception to me saying in the speech that I perceived that violence would begin to break out more and more in your country. He felt that I was taking a leap and that it was wrong of me, and he was quite offended and upset. 5 months later, when the Portland riots broke out, I received numerous messages from people who were in your audience, James, to say, all of a sudden, Saitlanders looks like the cleverest kid in the room. And the point is not that we're gurus. We've watched this movie before. What you're going through in the USA at the moment, where your financial interests, media interests, academic interests, and governmental interests are at odds with the core behavior, the core expressions of interest of the people on the ground in the USA, when they align with a small minority, this is when things start to fall apart. And I'll revert now, having digressed, to the example, the offensive example that I'm going to give. Donald Trump printed more money than any 2 4-year single-term presidents in history, adjusted for inflation included. He also printed more money than any 2-term presidents in history. The reality is that when even conservatives say the answer is to increase the money supply by 30% to inflate it. The true definition of inflation is the increase in the money supply. To inflate the money supply by 30% of what it has taken 200 years to reach. On top of that, it's taken us 200 years to get to, I think it was $19 trillion, I beg your pardon. Let's jack it up to 27, or what it was, 28 and something, if I remember correctly. That's when you know that you have a very, very serious problem. Throwing money at every solution, because that's all that the society understands. The center cannot hold. Interests are not common. There isn't a core identity. Homogeneity is lost. I've got to placate this one, and I've got to placate that one, and their interests are perfectly contradictory to one another. Therefore, I can't spend $100 doing it. I've got to give this one $100 and that one $100, because one set of $100 alone is not going to accommodate both of their perfectly contradictory interests. And although it's improbable that Joe Biden will be able to match the money that Donald Trump printed, the present budget on the table now is $6.9 trillion. The U.S. federal tax receipts are under $3.5 trillion. So he's going to have to print out of thin air $3.5 trillion on top of the world record breaking $32 trillion that it is now, just to balance the budget for 1 year. It's madness. It's wahnsinn. It's absolutely wahnsinn. It's unsustainable. It's mental. It's mental. The interest alone in that $6.9 trillion budget is almost exactly, it's $980 billion something, is almost exactly $1 trillion. So of your actual tax receipts, under $3.5 trillion, you're spending roughly a third, almost exactly a third, not quite, 33% just on paying the interest on the inflation that has been created in recent years. That's not sustainable. It just doesn't work that way. We saw this in South Africa in the 1980s and the 1990s, and worse since then. But that's when we began to watch this movie, when our government, ostensibly very conservative, ostensibly very Afrikaner, ostensibly trying to protect our interests, did the contrary. At every turn, it was pandering, like some queer in a public urinal, pandering every single person who put their hand up and said, it's not fair, why don't I get that? Why does nobody love me? I'm also valid, I'm also a human being. And I have to tell you that when you ask the question about where the USA is going, I'm reinterpreting a question you asked earlier, you're going to hell in a handbasket. Not everybody can see it because you haven't seen it before. We were also beguiled. We were completely beguiled. And I fear very, very, very greatly for the USA over the next 24 to 36 months. I think that if you consider the trajectory as, or if you consider it as a kind of a hockey stick graph, I think that you are just about at that point where it's 180 degrees, you know, where it's just upwards. It's just reach for the stars. We'll go mental. We'll do whatever the hell it takes to protect the interests of the craziest parts of our society. And I would say that ties in very closely to what's happening in Ukraine. You know, the finances, the media denial of all reality. I mean, reality just doesn't exist for the media in the USA. Blowing up Nord Stream 1 and 2. I mean, for pity's sake, this academic revolution in which all of the funds are being invested in social sciences and very little in engineering. It's like a kind of a death spiral. And many of your listeners will think that that's an exaggeration. Let's see who's right. I give 36 months. If we hold this conversation in 36 months' time, you will be bored by what I have to say because most of your listeners will have worked it out for themselves by then.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll have you on every year, Simon, as we always do, at least once a year. We've been having you on for a long, long time now. Yes, South Africa presents a great case study for anyone who's paying attention on racial realities, on economic realities, on what happens when, well, what happened over there happens. It's as Ben Franklin once said, Keith, and I believe his famous quote, experience keeps a deer school, but a fool will learn and no others. We got just a minute before the break, Keith.
That's right. And, of course, the thing to remember is that America and South Africa are almost mirror images of each other. We have 13% of the population that is black. You have about the same amount that is white. Somehow, though, they are trying to give incredible amounts of money, like San Francisco wants to give $5 million to each black person over there for reparations, plus a $97,000 home, plus, $97,000 a year income.
Oh, for their home.
Yeah. Plus a new home. All of this.
Oh, and a home.
Yeah. They want them to have 87% of the assets, apparently, of the United States of America. But it is, I think what you're seeing is that people in areas that do not have very large black populations are finally getting an education on what black people are truly like.
I think even with this level of inflation, if you gave me $5 million, $100,000 $100,000 a year in a house, I might be able to make it. My God. Well, yeah. So I, you know, obviously there are some differences.
California is truly the land of fruits and nuts. As I
you laugh to keep from crying sometimes. But Simon, what is the overall morale of white South Africaners right now with the regard in the grants? Oh, I hear. I think I hear music. Or do I hear a commercial? Nope, it hasn't started yet. I hear something. Is that you over there talking? Anyway.
Right, we're going to get James to a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I'm hearing voices now. I've been doing this for too long. Well, Simon, what is the overall mood in terms of whites in South Africa, given this current political and economic situation? There's the music. As soon as I get the question, we've been asking the question. Give Simon a little more time to ponder. Simon, ponder that question, and we'll get it on the other side. We'll repose it to you. One more segment with Simon Roche of Saitlanders.
Matthew 24:24 teaches us that the church is deceived today. Deceived Christians call themselves Judeo-Christians. Around 1900, Jews commissioned the Scofield Reference Bible, which transformed the Jews from Christian killers to the chosen people. Here's the truth. America is in the Bible. Revelation 21. Our form of government came down from heaven. Verse 3. The many Christian ministers at the Constitutional Convention sought God's will. The God-given rights in the Constitution were ordained by God. America is the new promised land for Christian Israel, and Christians are the true chosen people. True Israel is Christian. Listen to Jesus, quote, "My sheep follow me," unquote, and, quote, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep," unquote. John 10:25-27. The beast has transformed America into the woman mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. For the complete Bible study, write to Christian Knuckles, P.O. Box 210813, Royal Palm Beach, Florida 33421.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
All right, Simon Roche giving a riveting accounting of the situation on the ground in South Africa tonight, this Saturday evening, March the 25th. Did I say 23rd earlier? I tell you what, I've been so travel weary from this telephonic march around the world that we've been doing. We've been hopscotching. What's the word?
Hopscotching.
Yeah, the globe, and keeping all these time zones straight has impaired my ability to keep the days straight, but it's Saturday night, the 25th of March. So, Simon, several questions I want to ask you with only one segment remaining, then we'll plug all of the contact information one more time. But what is the, as we were saying earlier, not all of the different black subgroups in South Africa are in alignment, and even some of them have competing interests with one another. Even if from time to time, you'll even find a black in South Africa who wants the whites to retake control of the government. They knew that it was better at that time. But what is the mood of whites in regards to the current political and economic situation that you're facing?
What's the big threat?
I would say that the mood is about a three out of 10, predicated largely on the blackouts. You can't run a business, you can't be employed, you can't employ, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't bank if you have 11 and a half hours a day blackouts, which we are not experiencing today. But we've been warned that it's liable to go up to 16 hours a day and then possibly to 24 hours a day in midwinter for 3 weeks. And that's in the absence of a grid shutdown. That's just where electricity is reserved only.
Let me ask you this, if I could, too. Let me ask you this. Are they giving away this power to black people and making white people pay, or what is causing this shortage?
It's a long, long story, Keith. It turns out that the national electricity generator has been stumbling largely because of four cartels that have been perpetrating sabotage and then securing the repair work. And two of the cartels are headed by government ministers, cabinet ministers, most senior ministers in the government. So it's just a shambles, Keith. It's an absolute, it's the old African story. And people are very, very frightened by it. They're frightened by what they're experiencing at the moment. They're frightened by, you know, $1,000 of meat in their chest freezer rotting in a three-day period because you just can't keep up in summer. So there's a lot going on. It's a very elaborate and intricate story that I can't cover in an hour and probably couldn't cover in 3 hours, Keith.
Well, you're talking about ESKOM, if I'm not mistaken, ESKOM, that is the South African Electricity Public Utility. I mean, what is going on with ESKOM? What's the state of affairs there?
Well, it's faltering for the reasons that I just gave Keith. Four enormous cartels, like mafia cartels, that are owned by the government, they're just plundering it, they're sabotaging it, they're destroying it, they're throwing spanners into the works in the most literal terms. They are selling stones, rocks, as coal. And when they get put into the boiler burners, they explode and they damage the pipes. And so the story goes on and on and on and on. I mean, really, James, there are a million bad things happening in this country at once right now. And people are very, very afraid.
Well, a three is, I guess, okay, under the circumstances, I guess you can get used to anything, Simon. It doesn't mean that you enjoy it, but anyone's reality after long enough certainly sinks in. A three, for us, I think, to be over there, we'd be looking at zero or maybe less than that.
What it sounds like to me is that we look back at the days before the Civil Rights Movement and about how well things ran. I'm sure that you have that same nostalgia for the past, the old...
Sure.
Anti-apartheid government, or the old apartheid government, for example, before the anti-apartheid government took over, was obviously far superior and provided, the trains ran on time, everybody had electricity, everybody had running water, things like this.
Almost have no trains running at all now, Keith. I stayed in a guest house last night in Cape Town, and I raced back for this interview this morning.
Thank you for doing that, Simon.
Oh, it's a great, great, great pleasure. It's our pleasure, James. And I couldn't sleep. So between, let's say, 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. this morning when I left, I heard one train run. And I thought to myself at 5 o'clock this morning, how the hell did no trains run? But that's what's happening in the country. It's just going crazy. The train tracks are being sold for scrap metal. The trains are being burned. The roads are being set alight with tires. You know, it melts the tar. The buildings in the inner city are being absolutely destroyed. The banking system has experienced an enormous series of attacks by a faction from within our government. So if you take Haiti as a nil, you take Mozambique as a as a one, Zimbabwe as a two, we being three is pretty bad. You know, Detroit, Chicago, I'm talking about the inner cities, places that I've seen with my own eyes. Yeah, they're probably a five on the real scale of things. Three is very, very low. People here are terrified, and they are emigrating Those that are not moving to safer areas are emigrating at record levels. The house sales, I know people personally who have left South Africa house unsold. Just, we'll take a loss. We'll take a knock on it. Let's just get out as quickly as possible. Huh?
Well, Simon, what about the situation? You were talking about the overall disposition of whites, but just as has happened here and throughout the entire European world, the media and other institutions of power have taught our people to hate their history, to hate their past, to be ashamed of their ancestors. Of the white population in South Africa, how many people see it as we do, and how many people are actively aiding and abetting their oppressors, saying, you know, it was terrible that we had this horrible apartheid government that kept a first world nation here. It's so much better now, and how evil our ancestors were. Is there still a significant white...
Have they bought that load of rubbish?
How many of them have?
Yeah, I would say that in the late 1990s, as many as 85% of white people, to some degree, bought into the narrative. I would say that now you have about 20% on the far left of the spectrum who believe that the new South Africa rainbow nation is inherently a good thing only, as opposed to 85%. I would say that the normie sheeple then go from that 15% probably through to about 60, and then 40% of white people, an enormous number, given the indoctrination and the propaganda of the past 40 years, I would say are at that point that they believe that the conservative Christian Caucasian worldview is daily being proven more and more right, and that they are threatened, directly threatened, by the new South Africa Rainbow Nation. And 40% is enormous, as I say, considering the...
That's a good breakdown of the numbers. I appreciate you being that detailed. Yeah, that's
really
encouraging.
You know, like I said, all our skin folk ain't kinfolk, but it seems like more of our skin folk are becoming kinfolk as they see what the left has wrought in... For example, South Africa.
You're seeing it there.
America.
You're seeing it here. Yeah, that's right. You're seeing more people come around this now than ever before. At least in our, at least in my lifetime, more than ever before. Simon, let me ask you this: as we begin to wrap things up, another hour goes by so fast with you. But you have sons. You have a family there. What precautions do you have to take in your day-to-day life to remain safe in South Africa? And what's next for you, Simon? I know that you do get by. I mean, you live, you love, you have a real life.
What future do you see for your children?
You're goat herding. You've got a dog. you do these things. Mm. But, yeah, so what future, what does the future look like for you, your family, and how do you stay safe over there?
It's very much like Rhodesia or Zimbabwe in its middle stage, before the land seizures of, I think they began in the year 2000, if I'm not mistaken. I've just gotten, you can probably hear her in the background, a world champion Belgian Malinois puppy. I traded her for some milch goats. I've got a tremendously potent, if you like, little herd. It's a small herd or flock of milch goats. And I've traded her for them. She cost me no money. And Zimbabweans famously lived like that in the early 2000s, before the remnants of the whites left. You could visit Zimbabwe and meet ordinary white folks working as, you know, farm supervisors or farm managers, not even farmers, and experience a six-bedroom house that had more accoutrements than you could have in South Africa. So in many ways, our lifestyle continues as it always has. I have a $4,000 Belgian Malinois puppy at my feet, but my sons have no future whatsoever. One of my sons has about 10 million bees, and he's doing very well with the beekeeping. But is there any hope of him ever earning, according to his potential? He's quite a special boy, always has been. A fantastic salary? No, there's no chance of that. Is there? He, in fact, is a good case in point. A year ago, I believe it was February of last year, was driving his mom's car through a quasi-dodgy area, not really a dodgy area. He was hijacked. And when he got, you know, sort of thrown on the floor out of the car and he walked to the nearest police station, he was then robbed and assaulted of what was the remnants in his, I think he had his phone and his wallet still in his pockets. So hijacked and separately robbed and assaulted in the span of half an hour. That's how we live.
That is awful. Awful.
Sounds like Memphis.
No, I mean, you know, joking aside, that's just a terrible, terrible reality. And God bless you, Simon, and your family. God keep you. God keep you safe. And thank you for being one of the people who are standing up and speaking out and putting your name and your face out there. Men like you would solve the problem. Men like you are what we need going forward. And God bless our people everywhere, especially in South Africa tonight. Simon, we love you, and I couldn't respect you more. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Can I have 10 seconds? I'm touring the USA in the summer. And if anybody's interested in hosting one of our quite spectacular presentations that have been so loved and well received, please send me an email, simon@saitlanders.org.
I'm going to email you when we get done with the show tonight. Let's talk. I did not know you were coming back over here. We'll get something put together. We'll talk to you soon, Simon. We'll be back in South Africa. We'll remain in South Africa.